Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 3:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urena.
Mary, I am so glad to be back.
I am glad to be back as well, and in the theater.
And Mary, I did see in Dolby, In the Heights. Now, I can't think of seeing this at home on a screen any size.
It just wouldn't do it justice. I agree. And not just the sound, but the big, literally splashy dance numbers.
Oh, and the number of people. I mean, I'm sitting there, I'm in awe of John Chu, who is the director. His ability to pull all these people together in some of these sequences.
And on location in Washington Heights.
Yes, yes.
Various scenes were shot both in the streets and in a swimming pool.
Oh, and the swimming pool is wonderful, right?
It's very joyous and absolutely wonderful.
You're too young to remember Busby Berkeley.
I know of Busby Berkeley, but unlike you, I don't have firsthand recall of seeing his films.
Well, nobody was made better for an aerial shot than Busby Berkeley. And they're the gymnastic scenes in Busby Berkeley musical somewhere in the 30s, I think, in which you have a bunch of synchronized dancing and singing. And Chu actually replicates that in one of those scenes.
And that's actually one of the fun aspects I found of the film is the nod that John Chu gives to the classic Hollywood musicals. There, you've mentioned Busby Berkeley, Esther Williams.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
and
I forgot
her. And also a nod to Fred Astaire and Royal Wedding.
How about they're dancing up the side of the building?
Exactly.
you can't forget when you've seen Astaire doing on the ceiling?
He did the entire room, actually. he danced on the walls, on the ceiling, and on the floor as well.
What was somebody commenting to me? It's a comment on When the Sun Goes Down. This is a little bit kind of playing off of that idea. But whatever it is, they just mix so many genres in this film. And I think it may be even a little bit confusing for some people.
I think from an editorial standpoint, I understand what you're saying. There wasn't a main character, per se, to follow storyline. It's multiple storylines interjected with truly a tribute to Lin-Manuel Miranda's hometown in Washington Heights, and also where he lives. This was his first project he started in college, and when it finally made it to the stage on Broadway, it won a Tony because it was so new and so fresh with all these Latino stories.
Yes, yes.
So I think the number of storylines and then the editing on top of it with the different genres can be a little challenging to follow or become engaged in the stories.
I have more than one friend who was put off by the length of the film.
It is a little long.
And the repetitiveness of some of it. Some of them seem to be the same sequences, just dressed up differently. And I got it a bit. I just was hoping that they would see that this is a true evocation of joy, community. I mean, there was so much that I think John Chu, and you mentioned a name I've heard before, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
just a lucky guy. A one-shot wonder.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I'm hoping Hamilton comes to the screen. You've seen it. I know.
I have seen Hamilton, but you will be surprised to know I did not see In the Heights on stage.
Okay.
So, yeah. But the friends that I did go see this with had seen it on stage, and they did say that the first half of the film is very true to the musical on stage, but the second half was actually augmented with a newer storyline, given Lin-Manuel Miranda's interest in social and justice and politics. It's not surprising, but there's a part of the storyline that goes into DACA and Dreamers and the whole immigration issue in a different way than the original production on stage did. So I think that may have added to the length and added to yet another storyline to try and follow that ultimately isn't resolved other than the gumption of the young man to want to pursue becoming a citizen.
Usnavi is our hero's name.
Yes.
And actually he was, Anthony Ramos was in Hamilton.
Yes.
And so, and he does a good job as the hero, but really there are so many unknowns here except for Jimmy Smits and
a lot, and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
And if you're a fan of Hamilton and have seen Hamilton either on stage or the filmed version of the stage version, I think you'll enjoy, there's a couple of funny references to Hamilton, in addition to the references to the classic genres of musicals that we've already identified. It does make it an additional enjoyment to try and find those little nuggets and references to Hamilton.
Yeah, and you know, as for the traditional musical, it has an awful lot of that, and some people are going to need to, as you mentioned, need to come to terms with some of the social issues, which he becomes heavy-handed in the latter part of it. But and the middle begins to sag some as you're hoping for resolution somewhere, sometime, and it's long coming. But in that, if you can accept it as a musical, and therefore all of your complaints about how this is not referred, somebody was just complaining the other day to me about how the our young hero Usnavi owns a bodega. Yeah, you know, and they're saying, well, they's not poor, and I guess they're right. I just never thought of it that way. You know.
Well, I don't know the profit margins on a bodega.
You're right. Yeah, there you go. So very good term. Very good.
Even if he's not broke, my guess is from his immigrant story that his life has been a struggle because he actually doesn't have living parents anymore. And he's been adopted by the neighborhood abuela, grandmother, who seems to take care of everyone, and her house is the center of their put-together family life. And so when you look at the film from him being the narrator and where he lives and how he's part of this community that's come together, it really is an homage to the Washington Heights that Lin grew up in and he wanted to pay tribute to.
Yes. And as you say, there's some beautiful shots of the Heights. Certainly, it romanticizes. Sure. Of course it does.
It's a movie musical.
It is.
It's supposed to be romanticized. Yeah.
And they break into song, they do, and I don't think they do it in the Heights that way. But however, that Latinx whole business is beautifully wrought. I mean, there are bodies undulating in ways that I never saw in a musical.
Well, in different genres within the Latinx musical sphere. So it's fun to jump from song to song, and very true to Hamilton is, you know, there's a lot of the rap type
of
music that replaces straight dialogue.
Yes.
But then there are also, as in Hamilton, you move into ballads and other forms of
ballet,
other forms of communication.
Wow.
In the setting of
yes.
a musical.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. And salsa or whatever they call some mambo 2 or something. I forget what they call that.
I'm impressed, John. I'm not sure I could have recalled what that was.
But, I mean, it is a hodgepodge. But I'm watching and knowing that he has used so many different avenues of communication here. I'm just amazed at how smoothly he does it. I mean, how seamlessly it is. He moves from one to the other. He just slips from one. And it didn't bother me at all. In fact, I was feeling some of the joy of the actors and the characters in the film from this melting pot of people. It's just beautiful. Now, some of the more serious business, and you alluded to the dreamer business, and certainly the undocumented immigrants is an issue toward the latter part of this.
Mm-hmm.
What about even college?
There is one of the character stories she, very intelligent, has been accepted and gone to Stanford
right.
for her first year. So she's very far from home. And her immigrant father, played by Jimmy Smits, who it was wonderful to see him on
Isn't
film
it?
For the first time in a long time. And he is willing to sacrifice everything, including selling his businesses, to make sure that she makes it, because that's very typical, I think, of all of our parents' dreams for us, but especially immigrants, where you want your children to do better and get more education and go farther than you and your generation did. But she struggles with the pretty blatant discrimination that she faces being Latina in a predominantly white, privileged environment.
I know.
Like Stanford.
I was so surprised at this. I hadn't given it any thought. You would think that a place like Stanford is pure of all this, and mostly liberal and so on. And that's what she is depicting.
What she is depicting is not, and Stanford may have a few things to say from a publicity standpoint about the way they're portrayed as an institution in the film. But, you know, that's an, very hard storyline, because we're still experiencing so much discrimination in our society today. There's also other aspects in terms of not just the dreamer, but then the broken relationships, the love interest of Usnavi is trying to make it as a fashion designer, and the discrimination she faces in trying to move downtown, where she thinks she'll be moving up in the world and it'll serve her fashion design goals.
I love that one shot where you have like giant carpets coming off of buildings.
Oh, that was wonderful. The big rolls of fabric
that
were furling off the tops of buildings in the wind during her big musical number.
Yes.
Her solo.
What imagination. That really, that just struck me as wow.
Well, and that's one of the things that I love to see about when a musical goes from stage to screen, you want the filmmaker to take advantage of the now broader palette that they have.
Excellent.
To tell the story. And that was a lot of fun as well in this, to see how they used being outside and having these huge sets, if you will, to really interpret and tell the story.
Yeah, and I just think that's a great point. This is film. It's not stage.
It's not stage.
And do not confine it to the stage or make a comparison. Well, that's not the way they... Well, of course not, because they're completely liberated to go wherever they wanted with the camera. This is the beauty of films. And then to mix in that rich sound, I just thought this was a marvelous example of filmmaking at its very best, even though it is flawed.
It is flawed.
Yeah. And I don't understand why it can't be, because maybe... You know, maybe it suffers from the fact that Hamilton is just reached such heights that, you know, that people are going to compare. And
well, they certainly are. But the thing that's interesting is this came first. This was really his Lin-Manuel Miranda's first Broadway musical that he brought all the way with him from college. So, and it was basically a 13 years in development, I guess.
Yeah.
At least 10 years in development.
It was 2008, I think, on Broadway.
Yes.
But yeah.
And that's when it won the Tony for... And it got 13 Tony nominations and won the Tony for Best Musical. So it's got a very good pedigree to start with. And Hamilton, if anything, should be compared to In the Heights, not the other way around.
Thank you.
In terms of how he progressed as an artist in telling stories. But then you progress an additional 13 years from the time this was on Broadway. So you're looking at a 20-year plus development period of In the Heights.
Yeah.
From when he conceived it to when we're seeing it on film. And so you would hope that the story would evolve, the way that the stories are told would evolve. You know, you probably couldn't do the swimming pool 96,000 number on stage.
It just
wouldn't work.
That's right.
The fact that they were able to, and that's one of the, I think, one of the funnest scenes and best numbers in the film. You know, you just wouldn't be able to do that. And it was fun to see John Chu and the producers, who include Lin-Manuel Miranda, taking advantage of that and having fun with it.
And Miranda's relationship to this is, again, one of conception, that we have a Pulitzer Prize, I think, winner as a writer.
Not for this, I don't think.
Well, the Chiara Alegria Hudes, who did the musical stage play and book.
And the film.
Yeah, yeah. And I think she is a former winner anyway.
Oh, wow.
She is, yeah. So, but
impressive credentials.
Yeah, exactly. And because we want to lay it all on Lin-Manuel. He's brilliant enough to bring in people who know what they're doing. So he's not directing this.
No.
Yeah.
And he originated the role of Usnave on Broadway.
That's right. He's too
long. But,
yes.
It's played by Anthony Ramos here, but he is not forgotten. He plays a small role in the film and does have a solo.
Yeah.
In advancing the story and showing kind of the slice of life, not just from one character, but for the whole neighborhood.
You know, you mentioned one thing about the that struck me as a subtle theme of it, the sacrifices that parents make. And I think you very correctly said, look, this is not just Latina. This is everybody. Every parent who has ever cared for his kids has made a sacrifice. And seeing Jimmy Smits make that sacrifice, I thought, this is not outrageous. This is something that would happen. How many of us would sell our business so that our daughter could go to Stanford? I don't know. You know, there are some people who wouldn't.
Well, quite frankly, it's impressive that he had not one, but at least two businesses that we know of. As somebody who, as a character who was an immigrant, who came to this country and built his life from the ground up, the fact that he had two businesses, to me, is pretty impressive. And I have immigrant roots myself. I'm only second generation on the Urina side. And my great-grandfather, Urina, came to this country and settled in a small coal town and opened a general store.
As did my grandfather, open up a barbershop, came from Italy, and just in Rochester, New York, right on the edge of Kodak Park. Now, that was a fortuitous placement, because they became the barbershop of Kodak when it was in its ascendant. So, and my grandmother took it over like abuela. Just, these ladies are tough.
And they had to be.
I know. And that was you mentioned it, and that was a fine part of this film. Gets everybody's attention.
Yes.
Grandmotherly type who has spunk and whom they celebrate. Very nice. And I think she encapsulates for me the love that they have of family. And the love in the heights, that unifying element of everybody struggling and helping everybody else out, are things, a part of the American dream that some people have lost, but it still is the American dream. And it makes you want to live there, doesn't it?
I don't know. The sweltering heat and the blackout, that's a central part
the
of
blackout?
The film. I don't know if I'd want to live there then.
Mary, what happened with that blackout? I expected more from it.
You know, it was used as a device to count down, how far away they were from the blackout, and then that they had this blackout where a lot of culminating things happened for several of the characters. But it maybe was a little unnecessary.
Oh, I thought it was. It was just a lot of preparation, and then okay. I guess I didn't know what they were going to do, and it certainly wasn't something that cinematically would have been great, because it had been so dark and we couldn't see anything. But it does remind us of the intense heat that we have had now with global warming, something that reaches out to all of us. Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Well, and plus it was a great device to get to the big finale number with the entire neighborhood dancing together, which is... In the grand tradition of musicals, some device has to be used for the cause of celebration and the big dance number at the end.
And one of the ingenious devices, I thought, was the framing device of his telling our hero, telling the story to the young kids.
Yeah.
And having it, the background, the beach background, very good. And, and back to The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. But where is home? That's the key here. What is your home? Is it the Dominican Republic? Is it in Washington Heights? Where is it? Yes. Now, Mary Urina, this film, In the Heights, what do you have to say as an exit for our audience?
I would say it's a great excuse to return to the theater and just have some fun.
Oh, and I couldn't agree more. I tell you, I've tricked out my place to make sure that I have the best viewing in my own condo, but I'm beginning to migrate back to the theater. And I sit there and I say, this sound, this screen, my fellow human beings, this is what I love.
Well, and it's that shared experience. Oh. I went and saw it with two good friends, and it was wonderful to sit and chat and experience the sounds and the sights and share the popcorn. So get back in the theater, and this would be a good one to go see.
And it would be, and it'll remind you of the intense heat that we are currently going through and probably will be going through for the next month or two, and the joy of opening the fire hydrants. In that one scene, too, where they have like practically rainbows coming out. Anyway, it's In the Heights is a fine musical. I think you want to, you may want to see this if only if you're such a cinephile that you want to see, maybe compare this with Steven Spielberg's West Side Story coming out in October. You know, I think they smartly put that far enough away from In the Heights because the comparison to me with,
well, it's, you know, yet another reference to West Side Story. The original West Side Story opens this film with the drone shot over Washington Heights. See, it's like just it's like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, Alan, and I think you're a real movie geek.
You would be correct.